This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for July 2nd, 2024. We are called to order. The first item on the agenda is the Improvements Staff Report. Travis?
Thank you, sir. The first item on my list is the emergency repair of the broken pipe at 6A lift station. We had a staff member noticed we had a minor sewer spill coming out of a manhole over the 6A lift station, which is there right across on the golf course. And so once we once staff got over there and sucked all of the sewage out of the manhole, we were able to stick a camera down there. We noticed that the pipe going from the manhole to the sewer wet well had broke, and according to the camera pictures, it was off kilter by about 2/3. So what we did is we had the pipe was lower than what our equipment was going to be able to handle and the time that it was going to take with staff. So we called in Josh from TNT. We have a master services agreement with him for emergencies, and they were able to come in and dig up the pipe. As you can see, the first two pictures, the pipe had a coupler on it, and it stretched and came off kilter. What had happened is the ground had just settled so much over the years that it just finally clipped that pipe on the coupler to where it wasn't working anymore. So they did. You can see the next two pictures on the second page. They did end up replacing the broken pipe with the couplers. Once they got the repair done and we put the dirt and everything back in, they tapped it in, made it all nice and pretty so that it wouldn't settle, and got the flow going back up again. And it took about 2.5 days to get done because it was actually deeper than what was originally inspected, and the fix was a little bit different than what they thought was going to happen. So the total came out to $18,647.38. And so what we were doing is I just wanted to bring it to the attention of the Improvements Committee that happened and what we had did to fix it. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer those at this time for that.
Marty?
Did we do some other work on 6A? Or?
Yes. Previously, before, we replaced the panel and the pumps.
Oh.
It's just, if you've ever been over to 6A, 6A is kind of like Green's lift station a little bit. It's settling. Apparently, when they put that in initially, the compaction, they didn't compact it very well because the asphalt is settling around the wet well, and apparently it got to the point where this pipe was broke. We are at some point going to have to discuss 6A and Green's lift station, because at Green's lift station the panel's actually starting to tilt. So that was supposed to be part of the lift station repair things for the CIP improvements from last year, but then that got pulled and switched out to replacing Alameda and Starter Shack. Alameda because the pump is obsolete and we can't get it or repair it anymore. It's just a single pump. So that the director of operations at the time made the decision to put Green's lift station off. That seems to be a theme with the people. It's like, well, we got to do this over here, more important. So at some point, we're going to have to revisit those two lift stations to get them repaired. The compaction on 6A for this influent pipe has, it was done properly this time, and so we shouldn't have an issue with this settling, with this pipe. The new pumps that were put in are fine. That's not an issue. And then all the wiring, when Jeremy did the wiring for that panel, he put in a new box, settled it, compacted it, and did it right. And the panel is sitting straight up. It's just around the wet well as the asphalt is starting to settle on that one. So.
Okay.
So this is an information item. We don't.
That is correct.
We don't need to. And the total of the repair was
$18,600. Oh, yes, sir.
Got it. All right, let's move on to broken raw water conveyance pipe.
So item B, the raw water line from Granley's lift station to Calero, you know, the 33-inch pipe that we get our water from the river into Calero, was found to be leaking in the spillway at Clementia. The Clementia spillway, Roger found it, and so what we did is, since we're not pumping anymore, I closed the valve at Calero Lake so we wouldn't be losing any more water flowing backwards. It did stop the leak, so and the pipe did empty and it dried out. So we want to do this in two steps. I spoke with Mimi about this. I wanted to, and I got her approval to do a task order for part A. Josh from TNT is going to come out. You can see the pictures at the bottom of the page. There is there's a manhole with an inspection plate on the 33-inch line that's been there. We're guessing, since it was originally done. So we want to remove the manhole and then remove those bolts, because it's not really evenly lined up to be able to get down in there in enough room. So we're going to remove the manhole. We're going to burn off the bolts, lift the inspection plate, and we want to put a camera down in there. We believe this manhole is about 25 feet to the side of the spillway, and we found the other. So we've isolated both sides of the spillway, and we saw that the water was coming up below a concrete slab that's actually in the spillway that we believe the pipe is under. So we're going to run a camera down there to identify what exactly the problem is. So and then once we identify the problem, then we will get a bid packet together to do the actual repair. What we want to do right now is, like I said, we're just going to have Josh come out, pull this camera and locate it. Josh is going to have a three-person crew, two people to do the work. They're going to bring out an excavator and a water truck, and then one person on fire control, because it's actually out in the field where all the dry grass is at. Spillway, it's about 400 feet away from the Clementia Dam going down the spillway, and where all the big trees are at. We're actually going to, Joe and Daryl are going to go out after here, and we're going to look at it, because it looks like it's going to have to be put back. Once the work's done, it looks like they've got cobble there and they've got stone, so I don't know what is probably going to have to be put back to a specific way. I'm not 100% sure. But what we're going to do right now is, with your blessing, and because I spoke with Mimi, we're going to locate the break and see how bad it is. It's not an emergency, but we have to get it done before November so we can pump water next year.
Did you say this was a 30-inch line?
33-inch line.
33-inch.
Correct. We don't know the exact. It's some kind of steel line, is what we're
welded
guessing.
Welded steel pipe or something.
Because the plans, we did eventually find a set of plans that are very vague, but they don't denote what type of pipe it is.
Yeah, it's probably a joint or something.
Marty?
Is it leaking a lot?
It was leaking quite a bit. Because it actually runs down the spillway and then runs back out to the river. And it was leaking. It was probably leaking maybe 1 to 2 CFS. It was leaking quite a bit. And so instead of keeping it leaking, we went and, like I said, closed that valve from Claro so we wouldn't be wasting much more water.
Are we way down at the toe of the dam?
Here's the dam right here. Here's the Clementia. So we got a spillway that goes down through here.
Yeah.
This is the trail. Let me get my bearings here. There's that. There's a spillway that goes down, and see these trees right here? It's right in these trees right here.
So you're not, it's not going to affect the dam itself?
No. It's not going to affect the work on when they do the upgrade for Calero either. It's right here. It's just that there's a manhole like right about here, and then there's a blow off over on this side. And inside the actual spillway, there's a concrete slab, and the water's coming up on the side of the concrete slab. Mm-hmm. And so our guess, and this is what the camera is for, is that either the blow off, either a weld came separated on the pipe, blow off came up, because according to the plan, the blow off comes from the bottom of the pipe. Or the pipe is just broke. I don't know. We don't know how long it's been that way. It could have been that way for years. Don't know. But I don't want to take a chance, because if it completely breaks while we're pumping, then we can't have it. We get no water at all for the district.
So that pipe can be isolated?
Well, right now there's a valve right up here where the water goes into Claro. I've got that closed. Yeah. And so it's no longer leaking here, and we're not pumping over here, and so no water's going to be going this way. So right now the pipe is empty to the extent that it's not leaking. So once we pull off the inspection plate, we should be able to, Edco's got a camera that can roll down in there, take some pictures to see what we're looking at.
Could be expensive.
Could be extremely expensive compared to what we find. That's why this part is just gather information. Once we figure out what it is, then we'll get a bid packet together, and at that time, bring it to the improvements committee, the board. Once we have more information as to what we're looking at, hoping we'll have more by next improvements committee. That way, we can move forward. We've just got to remember we have a November 1st deadline.
So who gets to decide what the fix is going to be? Are you going to do that?
What we're going to do is we're going to find out what it is.
Yeah.
And then I will talk with Joe and Daryl to see what the best course of action will be.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good.
So,
sounds very reasonable, and let's get that thing open and
Okay. Get
a camera in there and see what we got. Okay, let's move on. We've got a letter from Bob Kyle regarding development. Who is this?
Okay, so on June 20th, Bob Kyle sent an email to the district regarding getting his plans approved for phase one of the development. Talking with Joe, we were kind of hesitant at that point to sign off the plans until the decision for, until we had have, were able to have discussion regarding storage capability. to provide, you know, for when the development comes online. On the 21st, I got a call from Director Mabee, because Mimi and Mark were out on vacation. He called me and instructed me to have Joe sign off the plans, so the district would not be responsible for us holding up the project over there. So we signed it, and according to Director Mabee, we signed it with the agreement that he was just going to be able to move forward with the grading project. He needed this to be able to get into the wetlands part of the grading. So based on the conversation and then the follow-up email that I got from Director Mabee, I forwarded that to Joe and instructed him to go ahead and sign those plans off. That was on Friday, I think it was, and then they had the plans were taken over to Joe's office on Monday, and they were signed off and returned back to the developers so that they can go ahead and move forward. It was my understanding that, and I've got Joe here to talk about this, we were going to hold off until we were able to bring the concerns to the board, to the improvements committee, regarding the availability of stored water in Rio Oso tank, which is I don't know what the right word, where I believed that was going to be feeding that development. And so at this time, I've got Joe here to kind of be able to answer any of your questions and to also let you know where he's at on stuff that he's doing.
Joe, where are we at in the process? I know we, full disclosure, I had a discussion with Director Mabee and concurred with them going ahead with their grading. We didn't see any downside to allowing them to get into the wetlands, with the caveat that this is not approval of the water tank issue or approving their water plans. So where are we on their water plan and that tank situation?
Currently, we're not very much further along than we were last meeting. We were instructed to go ahead and look at Rio Oso tank a little closer, coordinate with the Integrated Water Master Plan consultant as much as we can, because they weren't completed with their work. We received their model. We tried to create an existing condition reality check out there. We gathered information on actual water use per month for 3 years worth of data in the entire district, but we wanted to focus on Rio Oso to determine what the average daily flow over that time period equated to, and then we could apply that to peaking factors. And we looked at the peak month usage for another reality check to see, you know, what are the demands really out there right now. And that was very difficult to pare down that information and feel comfortable with it, because there was there was a lot of outliers of use, different types of use. We tried to determine which actual roadways out in the district on these lists of actual billing data. We have a monthly flow. You know, it's good data. It's just trying to apply it just to Rio Oso under the assumption that the Rio Oso system is completely isolated. And that's the way it's being operated now. So we went through a lot of gyrations on that, and then we tried to put that into that model. And what we found was the model was fairly close to the numbers that we came up with. The spot check for Rio Oso, and even we looked at the entire district. We looked at how much water's coming out of the treatment plant during these periods that we're concerned about, the summer flow, max flows, and how much water's coming out of the tank. Now, that's all we have are tank levels. We don't know how much water's coming in and how much water's going out. There's no flow meters into the tanks. There's no flow meters out of the tanks. So we're trying to analyze the system just for operational storage at this point. You know, to set aside the emergency storage issue and try to determine if what we're seeing matches what's been calculated. And it appears that there's still some unknowns. Now, how much water is actually getting to Rio Oso tank? And to come up with that is really difficult. In the model, they just had an unlimited amount of flow getting to the tank whenever it started to empty. And that's important to try to get a handle on, and we're still working on how we're going to figure that out, because the reality is that Rio Oso tank drops quite a bit, you know, during the morning hours, and Travis has made it pretty clear that it's full in the early morning, you know, before the peak starts, the peak irrigation period, and it drops down, I guess, approximately 9 feet from completely full. Is that about right?
Yeah, and so the tank will fill up to 27 and a half feet, and then the altitude valve will close, and then once it gets down to 25 and a half feet, the valve will open up and start filling. So, like yesterday, we actually hit low-level alarms just on irrigation from Rio Oso tank without even the development pulling any water from that tank. And I don't know if that's more contributed to this heat wave that's coming on right now, because this morning Van Fleck tank is dropping like a rock too. And I don't know if people are just irrigating more right now or what, but it's very unusual for this time of the year. But with that being said, irrigation usually starts, people usually start about some will start around 1 in the morning, you'll start to see a drop. Most of it starts around 4. And if the valve is closed, then it won't open up to 25 and a half feet. And then once the valve opens up, it'll start to fill up. And then it's around 9:30, 10 o'clock, it will start to level off. Yesterday it got down to 17 and a half feet, which it alarms at 18. That one actually took all day to recover, which is unusual, but we're in this heat wave right now. But yeah, it does. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays usually Rio Oso gets hit the most. I don't think people ever change their irrigation schedules from when we had the drought restrictions many years ago. But it seems like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Rio Oso gets hit real hard. And then Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, Van Fleck gets hit pretty hard. But like I said, even just handling irrigation yesterday was kind of hard. We said we did hit the low level alarm, that kind of concerned me a little bit.
So, given that information, we try to recreate what's going on, and looking at the model demands and looking at what actual information that we got from Mark and Oliver and his crew, we didn't have the model doesn't show that that's going to occur. We can tell you that much. And it could be, it could be a lot of factors that would create that drawdown of the tank that fast. It could be that the water coming into the tank is less than what's predicted in the model. The model predicts that the average daily flow for the max day can be delivered to that tank because the water treatment plant, you want to set it up to deliver the max day flow during these max days, so the whole system doesn't get depleted, and it looks like that much is coming out of the treatment plant, but how it's distributed between Rio Oso and Van Vleck is we don't know. I don't know if there's any way to know.
One other thing that I want to mention, and I don't know if this has been brought up before, we are limited during the summer of how much good water quality water we can produce out of plant one because of manganese in the reservoirs. So one of the things we're attempting over this winter time, we replaced the aeration units in Chesbro Lake. We've got about 13 pods down there versus the 9 that we had, and these are actually all working all the time. But right now, we are limited to only running 1,000 GPM out of plant one because if the manganese gets too high, we have to run potassium permanganate, and where we're able to feed it at, because of the contact time needed for it to do its job, anything over 1,000 GPM going into plant one, it won't react until after the membranes, and then you will start to get, and then the chlorine will react out in the system because of the time, and that's where we get brown water in the system. So,
but Joe, I thought I heard you say that theoretically the amount of water leaving the plant isn't matching what we're seeing as far as the decrease in the level of the tank. Is that, no. Did I hear wrong?
The amount leaving the water treatment plant is matching up fairly well with the total demand in the system per the model. And therefore, given that you have all the water in this model goes to the tanks. And if it goes to the tanks and it goes through the tanks and in the course of a day, it all should equalize. And I think it's doing that for the most part. They fill back up.
Correct.
It's just this this peak period. The tank's going to get down too low, and they have to come up fast. And there is another connection to De La Cruz up there that maybe some water's going that way. We had that turned off in the model.
Right.
And if we turn that off in the model and we isolate the two zones, then you start getting pressure issues in the lower zone. And I believe that is opened enough to take care of those pressure problems. And is that taking water away from getting into the tank and being processed through the tanks? Could be. I mean, we've been looking at it for about a month, gathering the information that we could get after the last meeting we had here to try to calibrate things and looking at even the fire hydrant tests that were done, and why are we getting such high pressures in the lower zone if in fact they're isolated, and the only way water can get to the lower zone is from Van Vleck tank. That's a long ways across, and in a peak day scenario the model shows lower pressures, along Guadalupe than what are actually out there. There's pretty good pressure out there. So we haven't been able to calibrate yet what the model's telling us, and we'd like to have operations go out and test if possible, some of the closed valves, is some of the water getting past.
Yeah, they're doing that this afternoon.
The most we can produce is 1,000 GPM.
Out of plant one.
Out of plant one.
Plant two, we can produce 2 million gallons. So we can produce about 3.5 million gallons, roughly.
What are we producing right now?
Right now, we're at 2.8. This morning we were at 2.8. I've asked my operator at the water plant to raise plant one up to 1,000 because Van Vleck tank is sinking pretty good. So we're gonna be about 200 GPM from max this morning production, because I've got plant two about 200 GPM below max. Because I don't like to run plant two at max because it's old, but we can if we have to. So right now I've got plant one at 1,000 GPM and plant two at 1,200 GPM.
So I guess where my mind was going was, this isn't really about pressure or pipe size. It's more about the amount of water we're producing and pump and getting up to those tanks can't keep up with the demand on the tanks and the big picture.
Correct.
Is that not?
Yep. Could be the case for sure. I mean, we've talked about, there are leaks in the system. I don't think there's leaks in the system that are large enough to create these situations where you wouldn't be able to find them. They would show up somewhere, in my opinion. The timing of flow into the tanks versus the timing of flow out of the tanks could create a deficit at the tanks. Allowing development to continue in the past, there would be will serve letters sent, and the ones that I've seen were based on treatment plant capacity. We've got the capacity to serve you, they didn't address tank, operational storage, and that's what we're seeing here. And when we run this model, theoretically, hey, we can put out the max day flow continuously from the treatment plant to go to the tanks, and they got, it has to be split correctly, so they both stay full, and the demand coming out shouldn't deplete the tanks. I think they get depleted by having peak hours, of the day where there's just more coming out than what's coming in by enough of a margin. I mean, that's the only way they're going to be depleted if more's coming out than what's coming in.
Peak demand.
Yeah.
But the model probably doesn't look at that. It just looks at how much water's coming in and how much water's going out, and there's enough in both.
Right, there it is. And there is a diurnal curve in that model.
Oh, there is.
That they created, and it has the peak in the morning, and it's approximately twice the average for that max day. So it looks theoretically, again, like a good working model to us so far. And it shows a drop in the tank, Ruoso tank, like 3 feet during this max day event with a peak. And we're already not using the top 2 feet, so, you know, we're talking about 5 feet of drop, but we're actually seeing more like nine feet.
Yeah, we saw quite a bit of drop yesterday.
And we're also seeing that at Van Vliet.
Correct.
Yeah, and that was never conveyed to,
well, that was
me
just,
as an issue.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, this is, I literally, when I got here this morning, I pulled up the historian that's got the graph on it and just saw Van Vliet kind of dropping down a lot faster than normal. I don't know if we can contribute that to this 15-day heat wave that's we're just now starting into.
Well, I'm sure.
But then, due to climate change, how is this going to keep going over the next years and stuff?
Right. Yeah. Marty?
Is there anything we can do to get better data? Is it too hard to put some sort of metering on?
Yeah, to be able to put flow meters in there, you have to
shut down.
You have to literally shut the pumps off to about 800 homes for the time it would take to install them into the pipes. I mean, I'd be cool with that because there's other things that I can do, but I don't think the rest. I don't. You're on that system. I don't really think you want to be without water for a day. You know,
I'm fine, but my dog needs water to survive.
But yeah, so pretty much the pumps would have to shut down, for the time that it would take to install the flow meters. And they would probably have to go underground because of the way the building was put on and the way it was piped and taken care and done. So we would have to dig up the pipes.
Anything else we can do
to
figure out what's coming in and what's going out?
I've heard of technology that you can wrap the pipe, and there's like some kind of ultrasonic that could kind of give you a guesstimate of a flow. I'd have to do a little bit more follow-up on that. I think I actually heard that from you guys.
Would that help? Is that going to solve the problem of the model and figuring out this drop?
If we knew how much water was coming in to the tank, you know, we can estimate. We should have a flow meter after the pump station.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. I mean, if we had that, where we could solve the problem, and if there's ways of doing it without, you know, disrupting the flow for a whole day, we can look into that, you know, and see what we can get. But this process is taking time because it is complex and because we don't have that kind of data available. And at the same time, developers want to put in their underground pipe when they can during the summer, and that's where the pressure's coming from the developers. You've stopped us now. We can't get county approval unless you sign plans. There's nothing else I can sign to say, go ahead and keep going, you know. And
So at the last meeting, the developer's engineer was here, and he said their backup water source is from Van Vliet, and that they actually show a valve from that system. I guess, and the point being that if they could draw from both systems, but our problem is not really that. Our problem is we don't know what we got yet. Is that a fair statement?
Well, and to be honest with you, I don't know what the system would do if we intermixed those two, a gravity and a pressure zone. Because right now, you know, second, and this could just, I mean, it could be nothing, I don't know. But as is right now, second Guadalupe up is the pressure zone. And everything else below that is the gravity.
I didn't understand him to be saying that. I think what he was saying is if Rio Oso doesn't have enough water, let's just close that valve and let's take it out of Van Vleck if there's enough capacity there.
We checked that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Based on elevations of their lots and they wouldn't be able to do it.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work for a couple of reasons. The pressures right now in the summer at their connection point are going to be lower, and their upper lots are just too high to sustain the correct pressure. I mean, it gets really low. And, well, they would said, well, we'll put a pressure-reducing valve connection from the Rio Oso system, the pressure zone, and when that happens, well, it happened every day. I mean, it would be like you're still on the upper zone, and it didn't make any sense to do that. And their engineer acknowledged that and put the design back the way it originally was. So, getting back to the signing off of plans, that was the only mechanism I have to keep them going. And I put in a letter that conditions of signing off on these first units would be that that's all we're signing off on, and that, as was stated several times to myself, was that these lots are not going to have lawns. Well, I would like to see that in writing or an ordinance or something that says they're not going to have lawn watering, and that has a big effect, of course. And we looked at this many units added to the Rio Oso system, and if there was not that irrigation of the lawns, if we use a lower peaking factor for those, that the effect on the Rio Oso tank would be less than a foot of storage, probably at most a half a foot of storage for the peak, looking at it. And we can isolate that kind of an analysis, you know, how much.
So how many, I know they're phasing this in. Did your analysis about that ended up with this half foot drop, how many, did it include the entire development or portions?
No, just this unit one.
Just unit one.
And the unit one has a will serve letter, and that was, you know, that was developer's argument. Hey, we've got a will serve from you guys. And if you tell us now you're not going to serve us for that development, there's going to be a problem. Well, good thing it's only the unit one, because the entire development's going to really make a change. And regardless, we still have the problem now. And how to get to the solution, you know, add some more storage, I think, you know, we should proceed somehow to get there, but it's not going to be quick, and it's not going to be inexpensive. So
we'll be talking about this again for Village H too, because Village H is going to be when they do that development.
Which one is H?
Village H is going to be if I remember, it's up in this area?
To the right a little bit.
Up here?
Yeah.
And so that's in the pressure zone, too. Got so based on all of the information that I'm catching up on, Village H and the residents were going to be the only two developments in the pressure zone. The rest of them down here are going to be fed off of Van Fleck tank. So these guys are going to have a tank, and then, you know, I don't know if Van Fleck tank is going to be able to feed all of these houses. And now if you're going to put...
You know, based on what you said about what's going on today and the drop in the...
Right.
That's a lot of houses. Something's going
to... Yeah, there's
right.
got there, to be quite
both,
a bit more.
Both systems are going to have to...
Right.
To be revised.
And I think you'll see that in the Integrated Water Master Plan conclusions. They didn't get down to the detail that we're trying to get down to, but I believe they're going to say that there's a deficiency throughout the entire system for these developments to come online, and they're going to say there's a deficiency right now. But that might be based on emergency storage more than operational storage, because you know, we can't predict what they're going to say, but we've talked to them and they let us know that they think there's a deficiency. But I think it was based on emergency storage, because when we talk about a plant going down, if the big plant goes down, you know, the plant two, during a heat wave like this, you're not going to be able to have a week worth of problems. You won't be able to have 2 days worth of that plant being down. And there's ways to deal with it. One is another source of supply, or a lot more storage. And
so let me ask you this: is you've studied the developer's water plan?
Mm-hmm.
Has it come down to where we've isolated the only problem with their plan is storage and supply?
The only problem with the plan to provide water is storage and supply over for their entire development. This unit one is just more, it's on the borderline of operational capacity right now for storage, and they're just going to make it a 10% worse or less.
So I don't know if this makes any sense or not. I understand Mr. Kyle has got COVID and he's at home, but is there a reason for him not to be able to put the pipe in the ground for his development, and us just saying we don't know if you can hook up to Rio Oso or not, if that makes sense for him to keep working? Is that...
Yeah, that is definitely a really good question, because for them to keep working, they're going to be putting pipe in the ground. For them to be told, you know, you can go ahead and do that, but if there's a resolution or something that the district decides to pursue that says there won't be any meter hookups, you know, until this is resolved, I'm sure that would throw them into a pretty difficult position as a developer. But for the entire development to come online, I can't see. I mean, you know, in his letter, I'm hesitant in signing anything, but when I'm instructed, I need to sign something to keep it moving.
Well, we can't get in his head. My question is, all of the underground that he wants to do, as far as we're concerned, is fine. We just don't know if we have the supply.
Right.
So if he requested that he continue and put pipe in the ground, there's really, without the knowledge of whether or not it's ever going to be, or it's going, how long it's going to take
right.
to hook it up, we don't have a problem with that. Is that safe to say?
Yes, but yeah, giving him an idea of what...
It's not up to us to decide whether or not you want to do that. I'm just saying, if that was proposed, we wouldn't object to it.
No, I mean, they could build... it's same with Riverview. They're building their underground, and they also have a development agreement, and I don't know about a will serve for phase two. They're expecting to get water. So they, of course, they're going to want to do their underground now that they can. But they know that they know about this problem. And
they have the same problem that residences have?
Not.
It's a different problem.
It's a different problem because they're on the Van Vleck system. And there hasn't been any indication that that's going to be an issue.
But today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but then also too, if you put, and this is just coming from a layman's thought, you put the residents on the Van Vleck tank, and now you're putting Riverview on the Van Vleck tank. You're if the original,
I think we've decided we can't put residences on.
That's kind of my...
Because of the pressure issues on the elevation.
So okay, that's a dead issue. Okay,
yeah,
all right, then.
First phase.
I'll just sit here and look.
Marty, I'm sure you've got questions lined up over there.
Can you repeat what you said about Unit 1, the impact it has? How many houses are there in Unit 1?
Nine? Wasn't there like 60-something?
62 or
66 or something
in the mid-60s.
You know, I thought it was higher, and I was looking for my notes. I thought it was
68.
I thought it was a total of 198 for East.
Oh, that's
and West.
The total.
That's the total. This
total,
just
total?
Yeah.
Because I thought their total was even bigger than 198. Oh, okay.
No, I think this one's just like 65 or 66 houses.
Yeah, okay. It's just the first phase, and
the impact of on. Rio Oso tank is...
Well, based on the number of dwelling units, equivalent dwelling units, because then we got to look at townhouses and half-plexes and come up with a...
And no lawns.
And with lawns, it's still going to be just based on a percentage of the increase of equivalent dwelling units. It's about a 10% increase.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 9 feet, it's 0.9. I mean, that's a simple math of increase. But if there's no lawns and the irrigation is cut way down, it could be down to, you know, a half a foot.
But no lawn is, I can understand you, no grass, okay?
Yeah.
But landscaping still without a lawn can take a lot of water.
Yep, it can.
And how do you restrict that?
You don't. We're looking at how much that peak flow would be, instead of being a two peaking factor above the max day.
Yeah.
You know, you just say maybe it's 1.4, 1.5. Because the lawns do take a lot more than a drip system or shrubs, but it's still a lot. So
could you restrict the flow rate out into the irrigation system? Is that's not possible, I don't think.
No, I think just what's going to be allowed to be put on those lots, if it's some sort of low restrictive, like landscaping, you know, your drought type landscaping, it makes a big difference if that's actually adhered to. I don't know that we have folks out there looking, you know, policing that. No. Some agencies do.
But it would seem wrong to take advantage of it and have no enforcement.
Yeah. So we're looking at that worst case where they can put whatever they want.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have that 10%, you know, plus or minus. Maybe it's a foot, maybe it's 8/10 of a foot of that Rio Oso tank now is dedicated to these new homes.
So when the other 130 lots come in phase two or unit two, there's probably some number of houses in at which we know we can't tolerate.
Well, yeah, and I feel right now, you know, what is that level of tolerance or risk? If we're already dipping into the emergency storage by a foot or so, it's already there.
What's that mean? You have some...
So you have a reserve in your tank.
Is that 18 feet you had the alarm go on?
Yeah, where the alarms are.
Is that where the emergency...
Yeah, because you have to keep a third of the tank for fire flow. That's and that's mandated. And then you have a third of your tank for emergency, and then you have just regular usage above that. And so...
So the two-thirds is that 18 feet, right?
Yeah, 18.3 feet is technically the two-thirds.
Yeah.
So that means the tank is dropped a third.
Correct.
When the alarm goes off.
Correct. And so...
and we're talking about another half foot or a foot
for
these 68 homes.
Right.
So that's a well established benchmark for...
Oh, for tank volume?
Yeah.
It's historically been used, but there's been a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. On that, just based on the reliability of your system, as you know, I was talking about, if you have one source of water and that goes down during these peak days, then you need another way to serve folks. And if it's out of storage tanks, you need a lot of storage to do that.
That's another conversation.
Yeah, that's a big picture conversation. I know that the Integrated Water Master Plan folks are gonna discuss, and
well,
it's been discussed at the district for many, many years. I've been involved in looking at water wells and trying to increase the volume of the reservoirs by some dredging, and you know, there's a lot of things that have been looked at.
But isn't that a decider and to which level we require a new tank?
As part of the...
Yeah. So it would...
Yeah, if we were going to put in a new tank, mm-hmm. I would certainly want, as an engineer, mm-hmm. helping to determine the criteria, I would want more emergency storage.
Than the one-third?
Yes. I mean, that's my opinion based on there was an emergency when that hydrant got busted off.
Because Van Fleck is only, I mean, I'm sorry, Rio Oso, which is only a 1.2 million gallon tank, is only like 35,000 gallons a foot. And like when that hydrant over by Clementia, when the hydrant goes broke, that tank completely emptied in less than 8 hours, and so it's, you know, and that the pipe that broke was actually on the line going to Van Fleck tank, but since we weren't able to put water out, that I mean the pumps will turn off to save, you know, this when the tank hits 6 feet, So, and then we actually, when that had that problem, we actually drained that tank down to 2 feet to be able to give water, because we thought we were going to be able to get it fixed. But that tank emptied in less than 8 hours.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of time if something was to go wrong.
It seems to me that you can estimate how much it might go down based on the number of homes.
Yes.
That's one way. But if it doesn't match reality, that's another problem. So, and we don't know the reality because we don't know the flows. So it seems like really important.
The flow meters.
To figure out how to get flow meters.
It seems really important because if we come around and say, sorry, you have to have a tank today, then we have to back that up.
Right.
Somehow. And if we have no way to back it up other than number of houses.
Yeah, that's all we have right now. Yes, number of house, equivalent dwelling units.
Because if we put in, six, 8 homes and do nothing, and then we have an operational problem, then it's on us. Right? That could be bad.
Yeah, there's not a lot of control out there, you know, for Travis's crew to say, hey, you know, let's open that control valve a little more that goes to Rio Oso, because it's dropping faster than Van Vleck, you know. That's not even available because you don't even have the flow meters to tell you. All they know is it's dropping.
The other variable is the amount of water coming out of plant 2, right? I mean, because we're talking about, okay, it dropped because of these hot days. It dropped so much, and Van Vleck is dropped more than we've seen. But it's at that level of water production, and now you're increasing the water production today up to almost max. What's it look like tomorrow? What's the tank?
That's the million-dollar question, what it's going to look like tomorrow, because since we did raise our flow, we're raising the flow right now to try to catch up, because we didn't top off last night, because we only recovered, Van Vleck recovered to like 25 and a half feet and then started dropping this morning. So a lot of it depends on how well you recover the night before.
But even at top off in the morning when it starts dropping, if you've got more water coming in, it's not going to drop as fast.
Well, that's true. But so the plants turn on and off based on the level of Van Vleck tank. When Van Vleck tank hits 27 and a half feet, the plants turn off. And then once it gets down to 25 and a half feet, the plants will turn on, regardless of the where Rio Oso tank is. Rio Oso tank's independent. It's got a valve, an altitude valve that opens up when it hits this thing. So, this is where I don't understand our distribution system very well, because even when the plants are off, Rio Oso fills up, and I think that has to do with water running backwards from Van Vleck tank to help fill that up when the plants are off, because of the elevation difference. But when the plant turns off at night, realistically, you know, it won't turn back on till 25 and a half, and then the plant starts to ramp up and do its thing. And then it just depends on how, you know, what the flow is at when we do it. Will depend on how long it takes to fill back up. We cannot change the flow on plant 2 on our laptops at home like we can with plant 1. If we get any alarms, low-level alarms in the middle of the night for whatever issue, then it's, you know, operator comes in, takes care of it from there. You know, they can temporarily turn plant 1 on you know, to up to 3 million. I mean, we could turn it up to 4 million if we wanted to plant one. It's just that you run the risk of manganese getting through and creating non-aesthetically pleasing water, which is one of the requirements that we have as operators, is we have to provide clean, fresh, aesthetically pleasing water. And so, and you know, when we had the 2019 incident, we had residents calling the EPA. I mean, we had every three-letter agency pretty much asking what the heck's going on around here. And so,
but I still say that since you've increased the production today from plant two,
from plant one. We turned plant one up.
From plant one, that you should see less drop in
the
tanks.
Absolutely, 100% agree on that.
Which may start matching up with the model better.
Yeah.
Or not. We're going to find out.
Yeah, like I said, so we're going to be pretty much, right now, we're about 200 GPM away from what we consider max good production for plant one and plant two. So we'll see what it looks like tomorrow morning. And the thing is, though, is for right now, this is just what we're going to have to do to get us through this heat wave. Historically, we're not ever this high in July on flow. So it's like, we'll see what it looks like tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any more questions. It sounds like we're just totally in flux. We're trying to figure it out. Somehow we need to get flow meters or something on those pipes to figure out what's coming in and going out before we can really fine-tune the model, right?
Yeah, not just the model. If there's a way to keep the flow going to Rio, so even though Van Fleck says, hey, I'm full, let's shut down the plant, it would be nice to still... If Rio Oso level is low, let's go fill that one up too. Seems like that's something we can do.
Technically, on our SCADA, we can dictate which tank turns the plant on and off, and you can switch it to where Rio Oso does, but you're gonna that plant's gonna be turning on and off.
Yeah, I don't see.
That is not.
Not all day.
I would not recommend that.
Once
Van Vleck is full, is there a way of making sure that we just don't stop the flow to both tanks and not fill up Rio Oso? That's a question.
Yeah, and then so when the plant stops, so when they rehabbed the Rio Oso tank, they actually went into Van Fleck tank and drilled a hole in the middle pipe that the water comes up in, and so that water will flow backwards and help fill up Rio Oso tank. Is what I was told by Dave Herman, and also Paul. I've yet to see that hole. But I do know that when the plants are off, Rio Oso tank will still fill.
In the evening, when there's no...
Yeah, so it will still fill somehow. This is where we don't have very good drawings of the Rio Oso tank inside that area where everything is. We have a lot of hand drawings and guest drawings, but we don't have actual drawings anywhere that we've been able to find anywhere over the years. So, but as it sits right now, we've just up our flow to meet demand and see what that does.
See what happens. Yeah. I mean, I would think that during the peak this max day, during that period, even into the early evening, the plant's not shut down. I mean, there's water flowing
until Van Fleck fills up. And if we have...
It probably doesn't.
Yeah, if we have the flow too high, then obviously Van Fleck tank will fill up and right. turn off.
But, turn off the system.
Yeah.
So. Okay,
I got one last thing. Did we figure out a way to keep the Joe paid? We were going to go to the board.
Oh, yes. So what happened with that, I asked him to take a look at what was done with the IWMP work and to build on that and to keep his contract at below 25K so that I can authorize that work.
Okay.
So that is that thing.
Yeah, we're still going.
Yeah.
It's important to get paid.
We're being good about paying. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's working out fine. And if we need to expand this to look at where we need flow meters, let's do some leak detection or pass some of these valves at Rio Oso something like that.
One step at a time, but eventually right. we've got to get to where we size out the new tank so that this isn't this. Yeah, we need to see the short term and we need to see the ultimate solutions.
Right.
I think we beat this enough to death.
I do have a public comment on this if you're accepting.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask if there were any comments from the public on this agenda item.
Yeah, hi, John Merchant. Just this is since Joe is here, do we have for the new development, the 697 houses, do we have current water, sewer, and drainage plans from Robertson? I remember when we had the originals, which was back like 2017, I think. But do you have something now that syncs up with what's at the county? Which is, you do?
For the unit one, just the 60-some units.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no improvement plans for the rest of the development that we've seen.
Right. That was. Because I didn't understand from him when he transmitted to the county in February when they modified it again. He indicated in there that they were, in essence, pending. And I just wondered if we had them and the county didn't or what he meant by that. But if you don't have them, then obviously the county doesn't have them either.
Just unit one.
Because he can't advance that application until you see them and we comment. And the only other question I had related to drainage was, they did submit the original drainage plan, and that was the one that Coastland reviewed and crucified, and that Coastland comment is down at the county, but it still sits there as the drainage plan. Are you of an understanding that they're resubmitting that? I mean, they were going with that filtration system that was at the source that was going to allow them to pour water into Clementia, stormwater. They were going to treat it up front as it came off the roofs and came off the streets in these filtration pools, and then they were going to pass it down the trench past the water plant into Clementia. And first of all, it violated our drainage plan from 1988. So it looked like it was essentially dead on arrival, but it is at the county. It's still sitting down there.
That's the overall drainage plan
for the
villages?
For all eight villages, yeah. Now, if they're going to continue to try and map the 39 acres next door here, they've got to come up with a water plan, a sewer plan, and a drainage plan for that as well. That wasn't in anything we'd seen to this point that I remember. The other thing is, and I don't, I'm just curious your sense of, are we to finish Kyle's property and to service the 116 units that are in Village H? I'm assuming, anyway, from what I've been listening to, that it's going to require another tank, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So are we kind of the impression that, based on where we've come from, that part of that responsibility financially to build that new tank will rest with the district? Do we know that?
No, I think that's going to, when we do our fee study, those improvements will be part of the infrastructure that'll be covered by the developer fees, right?
Yeah, and the other part of that being that it will service not only Bob's property, but Village H. Is there something in that, principally if you were to you know, make sport on what gets developed and what doesn't and what comes first and what comes last? We had this conversation 5 years ago. A is probably at the top of the list, and I would suggest to you, and from a layman's standpoint, that H is behind it. If there's anything in that that contributes to the ability to get this tank done sooner rather than later, I think they benefit and we benefit. And that was, you know, I don't know how that works with Carol, for example, and where she is, but it doesn't appear that on that village in particular she's going any further until she has a tank. And I don't think there's any question that the 35% of it that represents Village H is a guaranteed slam dunk. I mean, she's got to pay for that. At least our 90-2 policy at least says that's what's got to happen. The other question I had was for Travis. Here he is. When we're talking now about delivering with, you know, 60 or 65% of our water that we process now is coming out of Plant 2, do we have any general feeling for the assessment of where we are with that plan and what, if we're going to continue to rely on it to this extent? Number one, how long will we rely on it for until we can get Plant 1 to do what it was designed to do? And it has to sit there anyway for redundancy, I would assume. So, I mean, are we comfortable running like we're running that high a volume with Plant 2? I mean, I'm just curious.
We have a CIP project I'm waiting to get approved for next fiscal year to rehab the filter bed for Plant 2 and the filter carriage. We've pretty much rehabbed Plant 2, the said basins, the chains, and everything. Once we get the filter bed rehabbed, Plant 2 becomes back to its a lot more reliable self. And that would be good for, you know, another 10, 15 years would be my guess.
Right.
In my opinion, to be able to get Plant 1 to run like it was designed, we're going to need more pretreatment room. Whether it's mothball Plant 2 and use that for pretreatment, which we also had a study done from the engineering students at San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And they're saying that even if we rehabbed Plant 2 for pre-filter, for pre-treatment, that it's not enough. We're still going to need more. So as it sits right now, we kind of have to keep Plant 2 running best we can. We finally found one vendor that was going to be able to redo Plant 2 because it's all obsolete. We did finally find one vendor that gave us a quote to fix everything to make it more reliable for a longer period of time.
Right. One other comment I have, I think I understand part of what Joe is alluding to with why we've gotten to where we are. We sold a ton of internet-based systems because we had a grant, and we sold them for like nothing. The company is Aracio. And what it does is it essentially takes over your irrigation, where you would go out at this time of year with your old wheel and turn the dials and adjust your system. And the reason I point that out is that they do a climate analysis on a monthly basis, and I just got mine about 4 or 5 days ago, and they have ratcheted up particularly, and it's sophisticated enough that it knows what part of your system it's talking about. My lawns, for example, which it, in its intelligence, waters at 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the morning now, where we used to water them at 6 o'clock. But it ratcheted mine up by 20%. on its own because it calculated based on the temperature and based on the climate that my lawns required 20% more water. So we really did this to ourselves to some degree because we had such a great deal. I think at the last count, with what we sold out of the district here, we sold about 250 or 300 of them. And there's more and more people that have taken them on, and they're a darling startup company, and a lot of people are using them. So you're getting these surges now where people are not, you're getting them and people are not touching their, they're not touching the system. The system is touching itself. So thank you. Thanks, Joe.
Let's move on to item D, wastewater condition assessment.
This is just FYI. We had an approved CIP project from last year with an approved purchase order to get for capital, for wastewater condition assessment in Unit 6. We were unable to get the vendor here in time because there's a small window of time to be able to do these, and due to vendor schedule and our schedule, we weren't able to get them out here. We have them scheduled for the week of the 22nd of this month. It's just that it's a last year's CIP project, and we're just going to be carrying it over, and it's more of a FYI. So you guys are aware of it.
Okay. Any questions, Marty?
No. If we're going to wait a year, that's what you're saying on the condition assessment?
No. It's last year's. It was on. They're doing it here in about 2 weeks.
Oh.
But it's just because we have last year's, and then they're also going to do another section that we're going to, if it's approved in this year's coming up CIP. So
okay.
We just do it section by section.
Okay.
Nothing further on that. Any further comments from the public? Any staff comments or suggestions further? No?
I would just like to say that the idea of distribution system capacity was never mentioned in the 670 FSA or the Rancho North FSAs, and so we're sort of on new territory in this, and that I think to the extent that we can document, you know, these situations, it helps us to ensure that the developer actually follows through with stuff, because my understanding is that the document that Joe provided in order to give him the green light to do the grading, that went to the county, but it's kind of a bigger umbrella than was expected, that he could really proceed with everything. And so I think it might be beneficial if I drafted a letter, maybe for your consideration, that would sort of rein him in a little bit on what was the authority that was given by Tim about just the grading until this issue of the tank capacity is resolved, because he could get ahead of himself. He could just decide he wants to do it and then be at his own risk. But I think it might help us with demonstrating, you know, that we're concerned about preserving the safety and reliability of the water throughout the whole community. So if you'd like, I can draft something kind of to that effect for your consideration.
Yeah, anything to reinforce where we're at is better, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's understood, but it certainly doesn't hurt to document it. I know he knows all he got is permission to work in the wetlands.
His next
request is going to be to continue on with something else while this is settled, and that's the big thing here is how long is it going to take us to settle this? We have to get him water. How long? And is that, you know, it's a quagmire.
Yeah, But I think if we can ballpark that a half a foot is needed for the 68 houses, and there's another 130 out there in, you know, the rest of it, and that's at least a foot and a half. So I think it's best to think about the big picture and that capacity, because if the usage is, well, driven by Horatio or whatever, by increasing temperatures, and just in order to sustain whatever is planted, we're not going to ever need less capacity. And so I think planning for a thing with, you know, even an overly conservative number is probably a good thing.
In the big picture.
In the short picture. Yeah.
We have to get them water. How long is it going to take, and how does that affect them, and what does that road look like as we go down it? I wasn't going to have a comment, but my comment is, you know, we're talking about tank levels. I'll be really interested to see what happens once you jack up the plant.
I can print screen that tomorrow and send it to you.
That would be great, because I'm really curious now.
Yeah, I'll print
screen. If we can stop that decrease from getting down to the emergency level by pumping more in, I mean, that's going to tell us a lot.
We can staff this place 24 hours and make sure that we do that over the summer if you want.
You wouldn't know what to do with all the overtime, Travis.
I'd just build a cottage here for Travis, you know.
I'm just saying, we just put a little trailer back there and I'm good.
I did have a question. If we approved or let them build the water, underground water infrastructure, and we came along later and said you need a tank, would pipe sizes or locations change?
We talked about that. Mike Robertson and myself, and he decided to put in a 10-inch loop all around through that unit one, mm-hmm. that we could connect to with, you know, a larger pipe up to a tank if it's on their site. That might not even be where it's located, you know, if we decide, oh, let's put it over closer to Village mm-hmm. Then we just have to have distribution systems with enough looped systems. Mm-hmm. You know, with 8 and 10 inch pipes, you'd be fine to get it to the users. But
so then you could tap into that with a tank someplace. So.
Yeah, I think putting on the plans is better. The only problem is it's all 8-inch lines around it. The interconnections to the existing system, there is no larger diameter pipe mm-hmm. to pass the water through a tank if you put it right there. But if it's on the residence's property up, you know, on the top near the border of the district, it'll be fine the way he has it set up.
Okay.
And it can deliver fire flows. You know, they did run that model.
So the risk to him isn't that great. They have to dig it up at one place, but that's about all, right?
I think that their plans are fine. We've reviewed them enough times mm-hmm. and passed them by the ops crew, and that's where I was sitting for quite some time, and they kept hammering, well, the improvement plans are okay, aren't they? No, well, yes. So.
Okay.
Understood.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for taking your time this morning. We are adjourned.